go a little bit higher in Jesus' name. Is that all right with anybody in here? We just want to dance and clap our hands in Jesus' name. But we're covered by the blood. Hey! We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. Come on and clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel
be all right.
Transmitting. All day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Well, if you'll turn your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5, I want to lift out one verse, and I want to, from that verse, move through several verses in the Word that speak about our subject. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 13. And the Word of the Lord is this. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Jesus, in this traditionally known as Sermon on the Mount, is actually sharing with the believers the necessity of an effective testimony. And when he talks about salt here, he's literally talking about our testimonies being effective. So we're talking about an effective testimony this morning. One of the things that I think is helpful for you to understand that as Jesus shares this word and he likens us to salt, it is something that's very common and very tangible. It is universal, and it is everywhere in ways that men can understand. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, it matters not. You understand the necessity of salt. But Jesus goes a bit further, and when he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth," he makes clear that there is a need for us to understand what power we possess in our testimony. One of the things I think, again, is going to be helpful to us to understand that our saltiness, our ability to season, has come because of our relationship and fellowship with him. Amen. We are salt because of our source. And so it's important for you to recognize that Jesus calls you salt because you are connected to the source. And so therefore, as a witness of his, you must be effective based upon your connection to the source. Now, having said that, one of the things that he's talking about here is that the salt should not lose its savor. The salt should not lose its savor. Another way of saying that is the salt should not lose its connection. If you, being salt, representing God, Christ, in the earth realm, then the way you lose your effectiveness, your seasoning, your ability to salt is when you lose your connection with your source. One of the things that I like the way the Message Bible puts this word, the Message Bible reads like this: let me tell you why you are here. You're to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Now, isn't that pretty plain? Your purpose for being here is to bring out the God flavors. You are seasoning. Now, keep in mind, it's important for you to recognize the importance of salt in all types of foods and how, again, the right amount of salt brings out the best flavors in the food. How many of you have eaten saltless food or as a minimum of salted food? Some of you got to eat it right now. But I'm talking about those who have eaten saltless food because you've gone to a restaurant or a place where they didn't add much salt in it. There's usually table salt so that if the seasoning is not sufficient for the proper taste, you can add a little bit. It's not good to do that. It should be cooked in and all. But if you just can't stand it like it is, if you'd rather just throw it in the garbage because it ain't got no taste, you'll put a little salt on it. Now that's important to realize, because a whole lot of us miss the fact that being an effective witness is so important to the kingdom of God. The reason why a whole lot of folk don't want to come into the kingdom of God is because those who are witnessing about the kingdom of God don't have any saltiness, don't have the ability to season. Don't make it interesting and tasty so that folk would want to taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, the testimony is always a derivative of the test. You got to go through some mess before you can stand up and give a testimony. But the problem is we don't want to go through nothing, but we want to stand up and have a powerful testimony. A powerful test produces a powerful testimony. When folk are moved by your testimony, it is only because you passed the test. Now listen to this. If you ain't passed the test, shut your mouth up. You don't have a right to tell nobody about anything. Which means you lose your saltiness, your ability to season, your ability to see how God is able to take every situation, and though the devil may have meant it for evil, God turns it around for good, and you can show and share with people in this world how God doesn't just use perfect people, but he used people who will become perfect for him. And when you recognize that, you make sure people understand he is no respecter of persons. No big eyes, no little U's, no cliques, no clubs. And you love God, God loves you. God wants you to be in his word, his will, and his way. And when you are there, you belong to God and you fellowship with God. And as a result of fellowship with God, God empowers you, God anoints you, God favors you, and God gives you a word that is powerful. Listen to this. Now, Matthew tells us that Jesus says, we are the salt. Touch your neighbor and say, you're salt. Now, he didn't say you were salty, because some of y'all are salty. You need to check yourself. And if you are salt, that means you have been given this ability to season by God. Wherever you are, there is a word that God can use in all of us that will meet the needs or minister to people on levels where we are. Maybe your testimony may not be like somebody else who's had, you know, some serious and horrific test that they've gone through and God's brought them through. Maybe yours may be a simple one, but you need to know there are a lot of people like you that ain't been through a whole lot. Right. And to them, that meets their needs. But if you've got somebody who's gone through a whole lot, they need somebody who's been through a whole lot and can show the delivering power of God to testify to them that God is able to change, conquer, and control every condition. And so wherever you are, God has a word that he can salt things in your situation, in your circumstances, in your communication, in your connection through you. And so you might say, well, I can't do it like somebody. He asked you to do it like somebody. He asks you to be you, and through you, he wants to use you to touch somebody else. Just remember, every preacher, pastor cannot reach every preacher or every people. That's why they have a preacher for all people. That's why God keeps calling people, because there are some people that only certain people can meet. Many of them with like experiences, many of them of like spirit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so God calls them to ensure that they will hear the word, and that they would be able to season situations with the word of God. But I want you to see something else, because not just does Matthew talk about this. Let's move, if you will, to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Now, I want you to see this, because when you recognize again how God operates in his word, Colossians chapter 4, and he says this, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Thessalonians. I'm reading 4 and 4 in Thessalonians, and then we'll go to Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6. Let's go to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 4. Because here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he's talking about salt should be able to purify. He says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So he's saying here that salt, as salt, purifies, because you do know salt is used not only to season, but it's used to purify. Meaning when we're connected to our source, we have a continual consciousness of holiness and or of righteousness, of honor. We recognize that even in a sin-filled world and being a part of those things that are sinful, we have to continue to sanctify ourselves and get ourselves in a place of holiness, because salt purifies and it takes out the impurities, and it's a process. And so we need to realize that as salt is in us, it also one of the properties of salt is to purify. The more we have the salt substance, it purifies our lives so that we can live a holy life, a righteous life, a godly life. And that's, again, one of the properties of salt. But I also want you to see, again, if you turn to Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 5 and 6, Colossians reads this way, talking about the seasoning. He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. The Message Bible reads this way, use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down, not cut them out. Now, you know, this is one of the problems with a whole lot of saints. We get to the point in the place where we've made it to another level. We've made it to another place. We've gotten beyond one little sin issue we might have had, and we start getting holier than thou. And we start thinking that we have the right to judge or point the finger at somebody, et cetera, et cetera. And then we speak to people in a condescending way, as if to say, I am all of that and you are none of that. Now listen at here again that Paul talks to the church. He's making clear that we understand that as believers who are seasoned with salt, our conversation should be structured such that when we are through talking to folk, especially those who are outside of Christ, especially those we're trying to win over to Christ, especially those who have fallen down and can't get up, especially those who are already down on themselves and who are without any self-esteem or God esteem, especially those who need some help and need someone to care enough for them to talk to them with some love in spite of their loveless situation. This is important for the believer to understand. This is not the time to hike yourself up and hype yourself up in your selfish pride and or your selfish holiness. This is the time for you to humble yourself and speak to them right where they are, as if you recognize and realize that you've not always been where you are. You see, nobody can talk to somebody that's down better than somebody who's been down and God has lifted up. There is a sense of identity with that person who's been down and now God has lifted them up, to go down in a sense of humility, not condescending, not trying to talk down upon them, but say, listen, you down on the ground, let me get down here. Look, man. Let me get right where you are. Now, that is not to put myself down on that person's level in terms of action and operation, but to put myself down to where they are in terms of identity. When I am down to where you are, I am not so opposing. I am not looking like I'm all of this great, this, that, and the other. It's not about me. I've humbled myself to reach you. And listen at this. You can't reach nobody till you get down. You can't stand up and reach anybody down until you humble yourself enough to get down there. And see, that's the problem with us. We think we're too much to go where Jesus went. All right. Jesus left heaven and came down. And I got news for you. Everybody here is down on planet Earth. And he came down to lift us. But we couldn't have gotten lifted up until he came. And listen, he didn't think nothing of it to come down, because he was still who he was even when he came down. See, it doesn't make you less of who you are because you humble yourself to talk to someone who's not on your level. Doesn't take anything away from you to minister to somebody who's not where you are. Doesn't take anything away from you, so that when you go in as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ and meet that person in that situation and bring them, those persons out of that situation, anything away from your reputation, your position, your all of that, none of that stuff matters in the real world of God. Because all of that you are, he made you. You didn't make yourself. And see, when you humble yourself and can be a part of what God wants you to be a part, look at what the word says again in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Now listen, wisdom will dictate what you need to do and how you need to do it in such a way, because everybody you minister to or witness to won't be done the same way. Because the way I minister to someone on a socioeconomical level that's far beyond the norm may be a very different way than I minister to somebody who is down and out or on the pseudo lay of life. And so because I realize that, my approach has to be different. My message doesn't change, but my methods do. My methods change because as God uses me to speak to certain people, and I thank God for the ability to speak to people on all levels, different races and nationalities, ethnicities, etc. And so the ability to reach them is one of the things that God allows me to walk in wisdom in. Though I have the same message, God's given me the ability to say it different ways. You know, when I'm out there on the street ministering to folk or talking to folk or sharing with folk who's from the street, you know, I got just a little bit of hood up in me. I know y'all don't believe that, but I got a little bit of hood up in me. And see, it's the little bit of hood that I got on the inside that helps me to relate to the whole lot of hood that's in the person I'm trying to reach. And to come down and talk to a brother. Dear brother in Christ, God bless you. I am so grateful to God to have this opportunity to minister to you. Hallelujah! You know there's a word that we call one another. He probably called me right about that point. But no, I mean, I just depend on, you know, I might say, hey, bro. Look here, homie. You know, or whatever way I might lead into it. I want to share something with you, man. What's up, bro? You got it, man. You know, we going through our such and such. Man, and listen, and without going through all the details, one of the things that I bless God for is to be real enough to reach folk where they are. And when folk know you care about where they are and what they're going through and you're not condescending to them, then when they find out, you know, what you have to offer, they're like, man, I thank you. You know, nobody's ever, you know, talked to me like that, man. You know, I like the way you talk. You talk to me like a man, man. You don't talk down on me, man. You know, and I mean, man, about 20 times. You know, man, I mean, you might be, you know, man, I really appreciate you, man. You know, you man. I hear you, bro. It's all good, you know. And yet, you know, you speak to a businessman, and it's a whole different conversation. Whole different conversation. And so wisdom teaches you how to apply the word in the appropriate way so that the person you're trying to reach is reached. I tell folk all the time when I go fishing, when I used to go fishing, I don't get to fish as much as I used to. I learned that from a young boy. I always realize that the fish bite best on the food they like. I can't put no grits, eggs, and bacons on a hook and think I'm gonna catch no fish with that. That ain't what the fish eat. So I've got to feed the fish what the fish like in order to what? To catch the fish. If I'm going to catch fish, then I need to use fish bait. And too many of us try to use the stuff we like to catch others who are not like us. So if I'm going to reach the world, then I've got to be wise enough to walk in the world and recognize what the world likes and realize that from that point, catching them right where they are, because you can't catch them where they are not. If they are not saved, I can't go there talking to them like they're saved. If they are sinners still in their sin, I have to reach them where they are and then bring them out of that place, and then the language will change and all, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But knowing the wisdom of how to minister to them brings you to a point where you can make that transformation in their lives and that transition in their lives because of the truth that you share with them. Look again at what this word says. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So listen, man, you know, we can't go back and change the past. What's done is done. But with whatever time we've got left, you might be like, man, it's too late, man. I'm 75 years old. But you know what? You're still alive. And though you've lost 75 years in the past, God can take what you have left and make the best of that for His glory and for your good. So let's not even worry about the 75 years past and gone. Let's focus on what you've got left today. See, so no matter where you are and what the person age or stage is, you can minister to them and meet them in that situation. Look again at what this word says. It says redeeming the time. That's what your purpose is. So when you're going out there, you're going out there to get them and bring them back in. Your whole purpose is it's not worth your going out there if you're not going out there to be a blessing and be a ministering tool for God. You're not going out there to show your worth and knowledge of the Bible and quote scriptures and all that. Your whole point is going out there that when you come back in, you are bringing others with you. That's what redeeming the time means. It means making your steps count. Mother used to tell me that all the time. You would say, baby, make your steps count. If I was doing something, do what? If they got 3-4 things and I got one in one hand, she said, get another. Get, put something in the other hand. Make your steps count. Thank you, Mother. Look at what this word says. Let your speech be always with grace. Let your speech be always or always with grace. You don't have the liberty to talk down to a sinner. Did you hear what I said? You do not have the liberty to talk down to a sinner. Let your speech be always or always with grace. Can I tell you why? Because grace is what has saved you. And it is grace that will save them. And when you recognize that because of his grace you have been spared, then listen, your job is always to speak as one who has been spared. You see, when you speak as someone who's been spared, you never forget that if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be where you are. You start talking down to folk and acting condescendingly to them like that when you don't know or remind yourself that you too once was lost and now is found. You were blind, but now you see. See, when you operate in that light and in that vein, wait a minute, I'm not all yet, I'm gonna be. So I can't talk to you like you ought to be there when I'm not there myself. I can't point out a big old, you know, a little speck in the neighbor's eye, and I got a big old beam in mine. I can't judge nobody, because I still got stuff that's not right, not finished, not fixed in my life. And so when I talk to them, I need to talk to them being mindful of all of these things. Because don't fool yourself. Don't think that sinners are ignorant folk or unobservant folk. Don't think that sinners don't know some stuff about church folk. Y'all getting quiet here. Your neighbor might not go to church, but your neighbor watch your house. Your neighbor watch your children, and your neighbor watch your attitude, and your neighbor's watching you far more than you know. So don't act like you all of that, because your neighbor knows more than you think you know. That's why when that woman say, you know, if you want to know something, don't ask my neighbor. Come to me. Some of y'all look, don't ask my neighbor. I had to help y'all remind, you know, y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about now. She going to say, they don't know me very well. They listen, very well. That means they know something about me. Some things I'm the only one who can tell you, but my neighbor knows some stuff. Yeah. Why do you think when folk are searching you out and they're referencing you, they go knock on your neighbor's door? I'm so-and-so-and-so from such and such and such. I want to know a little, ask a few questions about your neighbor. Do you know much about him? Well, no, I don't really know him, but you know, I just watch. Well, what have you observed about him? Then they'll throw out a few things. Well, is he friendly? Is he this? Is it? Does he do this? Well, you know, so and so, so. And they'll give you information based on observation. And sinners do that more than you know. Sinners on your job are watching you. They're watching your actions. They're watching what you read. They're listening to your conversation. They're watching your attitudes. They're watching your interaction with folk. They're listening to when you talk about other coworkers. All of these different things the sinner is observing. And so then when you decide on one day you want to be holy and talk about Jesus or talk down about somebody else, that sinner who don't belong to Jesus and have no connection with the church, has no connection with the church, will come up and say, well, wait a minute. You know, you were talking about so-and-so, or you were acting like so-and-so, or you were this, that, and the other. In essence, what they were saying is your testimony or your witness is ineffective because your walk doesn't harmonize with your talk. And so it cancels it out. See, because they don't understand that we're not perfect. They don't understand that we are being perfected. But they, when they see us, expect a level of perfection far beyond where they are. And what they don't understand is at this point in the walk that you are still being developed. You are still being pruned. You're still being worked on. But you got to realize that what you show to others states how developed you are in your maturity. And to some folk, it may be enough to turn them off. And to others, it may be enough to draw. Because they see your walk harmonizes with your talk. And when you say something, they can see the effects of that in your life. And so as a result of that, they come to the Lord. Look again at what it says. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt. Yes, sir. Meaning you ought to have something of substance when you speak. Meaning the word of God. Meaning being able to speak godly. And listen to this. It says that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. You got to get enough word in you so that enough word comes out of you. So you need to know how to handle it. You know, because when people call you this or say this to you or say you ought to be this or you ought to be that or you call yourself Christian, this, that, and the other, you need to be able to make sure you answer them according to the Word of God, giving them insight, and yet at the same time, you can tell them what God said in a way